The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much. Once again, another week of radio magic. Doug Hughes is joining me today live in the studio. Doug?
Absolutely. Looking forward to being here. It's a beautiful day today, but boy, we've got a lot of important information to cover today,
too. Oh, we always do. And it was, of course, a great Labor Day this past weekend, a good Hoosier victory on Friday evening. And Doug, you were there for that. You love Friday Night Lights, and I'm like... Yeah. Friday night football should be reserved for high school, not for college. College, stick to your Saturdays. NFL, stick to your Sundays, and we're all a happy nation. But it was a fun night.
Well, I have to tell you, I enjoy going to Memorial Stadium on those evenings, and the bright lights are out there, the flag is waving, the crowd is good, and the weather was terrific.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't get much better than that for a pre-fall evening in the – I left at halftime, David. I wish I hadn't, but I left at halftime. It had already been, quite a long first half.
Yeah, and so it was a long first half. And TV breaks and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, but, we actually ended up rolling out after the fourth quarter started just because it was late and had a big day on Saturday playing, so we went home. And I watched the last few minutes on TV, which was the best 2 minutes. So it worked out good, and I was at home, and I was in my bed and up and ready to go on Saturday morning. So, yeah, this shortened week we find ourselves. Normally I do a little news of the week. Of course, brought to you by Lance Like of the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And just cut a new spot for my friend Tim at Unrivaled Electric. Really talking about generators. That's the big push right now. You have the fall storms, spring storms, maybe winter storms. It's sure nice to have a generator that pops on automatically when your electricity goes out. If you'd like to explore how to put a generator in your house, give them a call. 812-361-3604. Or, of course, just find them on Facebook as well. And then lastly, Kenny Band Auctions. They are your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them on that really awesome website, KennyBandAuctions.com. And Duggar, last week was the last week of By the Numbers. Mick Higley, our friend, retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave a few of his final tidbits last week. But, I'm going to miss it because I use that as a crutch every week to pull out some just cool data to keep things in perspective. Of course, Mick's been a guest on the show. He will return as a guest on the show, but he wrote me an email when I asked him to come on to talk about his legacy of creating this By the Numbers and what kind of impact it's had on the financial advisor community, which is his customer base. And he said after however many years and this many weeks and this many days, he's a numbers guy, he needed a break from everything. So he was taking about 3 months off. So I'm hoping to have Mick on sometime before the end of the year. And I'm hoping someone will pick that up By the Numbers. I tried to connect a few different organizations that I thought had the capacity to carry on the legacy of By the Numbers. But so far, no takers. I think it'd be a great business if you could buy it and be taught by Mick himself. So if you're a numbers guy and looking for a fantastic business that you could be picked up and bought and trained, give me a call, shoot me an email, I'll connect the two of you guys. But he's very protective of his reputation, didn't want to tie his name to anyone or anything that he didn't feel completely confident in, and was willing to walk away from what I thought was some pretty big cash to to just fold the tent and be done with it. So, you know, I think about the by the numbers from the August 22nd edition. It talked about the normal. I mean, just all kinds of things that I'm going to have to start recreating myself or finding new outlets to just come up with thoughts and ideas. But on that edition, he talked about how it must be done. The last time normal retirement age for monthly Social Security benefits was raised was in 1983. 75% of 2,500 registered voters surveyed in April of this year supported raising normal age of Social Security, but not for them. But think about in 83 when they raised the age of 67.
Yeah.
I was 13 years old. I wasn't voting. I wasn't voting back then.
Yeah.
Or just different solid indicators, you know, that he wrote about the U.S. economy contracting in the second quarter of 2022 on the heels of a first quarter contraction. There's been some revisions since then. But that was only the eighth time the United States has suffered two or more consecutive down quarters since 1960. That was surprising to me. But see, that's the kind of cool stuff that Mick would talk about. Or, you know, just another trillion. He would help me hammer home my message of the fact that we have increasing debt, we have a increasing deficit, and we're going to have increased taxes or increased revenue or maybe a combination of both when it comes to enforcement officers being hired or whatever it might be to try to find the money slipping through the cracks. But he was like, just another trillion, right? He talked about from December of 2021 to Tuesday at the middle of August of this year, the U.S. debt increased from $29.6 trillion to $30.6 trillion, an increase of $1 trillion year to date. That's crazy to think about. But those are the kind of things that I would get out of Mick that we're going to have to start recreating ourselves. So we'll put the staff on it. We'll see what we come up with. But nonetheless, the show must go on. With or without Mick, I'm sorry. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, September is actually Life Insurance Awareness Month. We've got Doug Hughes in to talk about why we even have an awareness month. And because I don't think there's any like furniture discounts or car deals going on when you have September. Like, it's not like
why
a
not?
Labor Day sale, right? Yeah. Something like that. But anyway, how much should someone own? What are some guidelines you can follow? So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. When we come back, it is September. It is Life Insurance Awareness Month. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, we know it's September. Labor Day just passed. Fall is just around the corner. Football season in full swing. Bloomington North and South play Friday night. If you're listening to this on Saturday morning, my prediction is Bloomington South will win the game after calling the first play last week. For those of you that did not know that, it was pretty big news amongst many circles that we called a very successful opener. South actually last week blocked the first punt, ran it in for a touchdown. And everyone's like, did you call that play? I'm like, nope, that's not my play. My play is an offensive play. And it was very successful. But after seeing them play, no, nothing against North at all, but I'd be really shocked if they don't rise to the occasion and have a really good performance again this Friday night. But it is football season, but it also is Life Insurance Awareness Month. I don't know why they picked September to be an awareness month. Maybe it's one of those off months where there's no Valentine's Day, no Arbor Day, no this or that day to pick it, besides Labor Day, of course, but it's after Labor Day, and it is Life Insurance Awareness Month. Doug, I think the key for people to understand is that, I mean, growing up, personally, everyone hated insurance. They would complain about their insurance agent, you know, but the fact is, life insurance, to me, is one of the most important and foundational things a person can have, especially in their accumulation phase, in their days of having mortgages, having kids. Because when you're young, you've got some obligations, yes, but you also have some plans. And those plans will not be completed unless there's some money there to take care of it. So we've always kind of rode on the heels of this 8 to 12 times annual income. Again, that's just a guideline. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to insurance, when you're in your working years, you should really break it down into debts and completion of coverage. Completion of plans, like retirement planning, maybe educating the kids, whatever it might be that you had plans to do at some point down the road. When you have a breadwinner that passes away and you lose their income, but you also lose maybe their health benefits, maybe you lose the ability to save for retirement in a good way. But life insurance really is the foundation, I think, of any good financial plan, especially when you're in the accumulation years.
David, it's often called the cornerstone. And the unfortunate part of what's happened with life insurance over the years is it has been misrepresented, misunderstood, viewed as an expense that's unnecessary. But to your point, everyone should have a financial plan. And if you have a financial plan and that financial plan indicates to you that by the age of 67, you need to have $2 million or $3 million saved for your retirement, that's a plan. And that plan needs to be viewed as with a coverage. And that coverage simply comes in the form of typically term insurance that says, if this person who's bringing in this much money, who's going to save this much money of their income, it's going to pay for college, it's going to pay for the house, it's going to pay for life. If that person passes in the meantime, then they are going to have that coverage, which is typically term. It's the least expensive way to do it. We're going to get in some really good stuff, but the plan is covered. And that's where we always go back to, let's start with your plan, not your statements. When we ask people, show us your financial plan, they bring in a statement. That's not your plan, that's your statement. What does the plan look like? And a good plan is coordinated and allows for coverages. Why? Because one out of one people pass away. We don't know what's going to happen. You and I are sitting here recording the show, just received the sad news that Queen Elizabeth just passed away.
Oh, I did not know that.
And so one out of one people, no matter the relevance is here, no matter who you are going to pass. And so when you pass, it could happen in the middle of your accumulation years, could happen when the kids are still at home. Every plan begins with a coverage that would cover that kind of loss of income.
Well, Prince Charles is now king, right?
He will become the king, yes. Very interesting, as we're reflecting on her life just yesterday. The new prime minister was there
right.
And shook her hand just yesterday. Well,
okay.
What we would have known as yesterday. Yeah,
right.
The time difference. And then and she looked frail. They said her hands looked a bit blue, and they pulled the family in out to Balmoral, which is her retreat, and we just got the news that she's passed.
How about that?
Yeah, 96 years old.
Well, you mentioned obviously the cornerstone is life insurance, self-completing plans. But one of the biggest mistakes I think people make is hanging on to the employer as the place to bring all my benefits. Do you really want to count on the same employer for my paycheck, my health insurance, my retirement benefits, and my life insurance? Because if you detach from that employer, either by choice or not by choice, you're going to lose a few things. Obviously, you can go replace the paycheck, but you can't normally take the life insurance with you. And if you can, it's normally very, very expensive. Two, you can move your retirement plan over. You hopefully can pick up some health benefits, but the life insurance is the one of those four pieces that I truly believe you need to have separate from your employer, at least the majority of it separate from your employer, because then you might be uninsurable. You might
my next point. You know, you might work someplace for 10 years and assume that life insurance is great, but 10 years can mean a lot in life insurance purchasing and life insurance placement in your portfolio, for sure.
Right. And it is, honestly, folks, one of the most tax-favored, most hollowed things, whatever you want to say, in the tax code. It's IRS code 7702, and it talks about the tax-free treatment of life insurance, not just the death benefit, but the cash value benefit. Now, we've talked with David McKnight, the author of Look Before You LERP, which is obviously a famous book on the heels of his New York Times bestseller, but he talks about using life insurance as an accumulation vehicle. And then, oh, by the way, at the end of your life, you could die and it all goes tax-free to your heirs. So I think term insurance obviously is easy, it's cheap, but it does term out. Less than 1% of policies that are term actually result in a death claim.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from LIMRA, which is a life insurance agency that tracks all this stuff in the industry. So there is a use for permanent insurance. And what does permanent mean? It's going to be there when I die.
Mm-hmm.
But again, people have to maybe change their mindset. It's like the mindset of annuities, right? Everyone lumps annuities in with one big lump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different types of annuities. They all have different aspects. Some have no fees. Some have lots of fees, living benefits, death benefits, whatever it might be, no benefits except accumulation. Life insurance, same way. I mean, even when you get into the permanent side of things, you have whole life, which people used to say, that's like throwing your money down a hole. Well, I can tell you right now, some of the clients that I've seen walk in 30 years later with a whole life policy, in many cases, was their best performing asset.
Exactly right, yeah.
The first few years, a little bit tough because you see a bunch of zeros. That's just because the commissions are front-loaded. You have indexed life, universal life, which is really a term chassis that mm-hmm. has some ability to save money kind of on the side. You know, those would have to be more managed over time. A lot of these have some living benefits as well, and that's why me personally, that's why, you know, when people like, I joke a lot, like, how much money do you have in the stock market? As little as I have to, right, to get where I want to be. It's like the least thing I can, even though we know this and we know that and we believe it, you know, but the other part is how much do you have in life insurance? I have what I need, you know, and I have the cash value in there, what I need. I have the death benefit of what I need. But you know what, Doug? I also have something called a critical illness rider that says, hey, if I can't perform two of my six activities of daily living or I have a moderate to severe cognitive issue, oh, by the way, I can tap into my life insurance early, that mm-hmm. death benefit, and pay for my care. And having a father-in-law that passed away of Alzheimer's, having a mother that's currently dealing with it, seeing clients deal with it, there's nothing more comforting to having an extra pool of money that just takes the weight and stress off to be right. able to pay for that critical illness, which in many cases is dementia or Alzheimer's.
And let's take a moment just to applaud the insurance industry. And normally, you know, people give them black eyes or things of that nature over their different type of concepts and contracts. But to be able to have the riders and the opportunities that you just talked about, the
right.
Long-term care, living benefits on life insurance is really a great feature. Now, let's go back to one thing you mentioned. I want to talk about term insurance for just a moment, David, because a lot of people, you know, when we talk about term insurance, they look for and think, just scour the internet for the cheapest thing I can find.
Yes.
But let's talk about another sleeve of term insurance that I personally am going to be putting to use, and that is to be able to buy what's called convertible term, meaning that you buy term, it's less expensive than permanent, and whatever your credit rating, whatever your health rating is,
gets locked in.
So we've been talking to more and more young people about saying, hey, why not buy a 20 or 30 year convertible term policy that in 10 years we can convert a portion of that or all of it to a permanent policy, and it will still be based on your health rating of the origination date, which might be in your 30s or mm-hmm. your 40s, mm-hmm. right? So a convertible term policy is something that people should have their eyes open to and take a look at, and not just shop for the cheapest possible policy that when it expires and this whole fictitious, oh, you're going to have $1 million or $2 million and you're going to be self-insured and you'll never need anything. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that we see a lot of people who get to that point of self-insured, quotation marks.
Right.
But at the end of the day, to have that opportunity, if a health situation changes,
right.
to be able to convert means an awful lot. Not all of it, maybe a portion of it or all of it, but you have opportunities later on to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, so like you said, if you had to get the cheapest, even though they say it's convertible, what is it convertible to? You know,
right.
is it
exactly.
a big garbage policy? So, yeah, I mean, and that's why I would personally use a professional
Absolutely.
That has connections and know-how getting you in the right policy with the right company mm-hmm. for the right reason. If you go online, you may find a cheaper version. But honestly, most people out there that have an insurance license, like we all do in the financial planning world, can get it about the same, or if mm-hmm. not even maybe better. You never know. Maybe they have a relationship with an underwriter. They can get you a little better rating. You know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a world that I believe needs to be also used, a professional be used for that
yeah.
for that purpose. And also, I mean, someone who's not captive. Like if someone's
yes.
captive where I can only sell you this company, right? You know, I'd really like to have the opportunity for you at least be able to look around and mm-hmm. see what else is out there. Maybe there's a different company. Because every company, we see this like with banks. Why does a bank raise their CD rates? Because they need some money, right? Why have they not raised your CD rates? Because we don't need any money.
Right.
You know, right now it's interesting because you look at the banks, you're like, well, I know interest rates are up, but how come the interest savings rate haven't gone up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even though they can now charge more on a loan, there's a lot less demand for the loans. So they're really making not more money.
More money. Yeah.
They may be more money on that you because you took took a loan out, but that spread is always changing. Well, if they all of a sudden had a bunch of demand and needed more deposits, guess what? They would raise it by saying, okay, we're going to raise our CD rates. Well, insurance companies are always trying to balance their pool out, their age pools, their annuity versus life pools. I mean, there's all kinds of things they're always managing, mortality risk.
Mm-hmm.
So they might say, you know what? We need more 50-year-olds. And all of a sudden, their rates are a heck of a lot better than these company rates.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, we're okay taking on some older folks. And we're willing to underwrite a 75-year-old or 80-year-old. I mean, that's possible.
Sure.
But there is a reason why at 80 years old you can't buy a 10 or 20-year level term.
That's right.
Guaranteed.
That's right.
Because
yes.
They don't want you to expire with that policy in hand. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a great point about the convertible term and all that.
And let's say this. You know, there's really two types of life insurance. There's term. Which lasts for a term that does have some convertible features if you get the right policy. And then there's permanent life insurance. This is the one that typically gets the worst press, but you're able to build some cash value. You can do indexing where you participate in the gains of like the S&P 500
right.
or the NASDAQ or another different index. And that cash value can grow over time. And to your point, David, it grows tax deferred. And if structured properly, can be tax-free through loans or tax-free at death or, thirdly, used for tax-free for
well,
long-term
care.
Well,
last thing I'll say is that it can also be looked at. Rod's calling in right now. We're going to go to him in just a second. But the last thing I could tell you this. Let's say you said, you know what? I would really like to leave a legacy to my family,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to leave $3 million. Well, you could separate some assets to pay for that, either in a lump sum over time or whatever, and know that that is taken care of. Now, guess what? It gives you the permission to spend everything else.
Everything you
got. Everything else. And you're going to leave a tax-free lump sum of money that's literally after a death certificate's issued, the beneficiary form directs where the money goes. Within a month or less, mm-hmm. they'll have money.
Yeah.
Versus, you know what? I've got to sell this. I've got to transfer that. I've got to open an account. I mean, it's very, very simple and straightforward. So, it's an asset class in the advanced world of the and the wealthy use it. You know, when say I'm self-insured, you might think you are, but to your point, I mean, is that the absolute best use of your capital? Would there be a better use of your capital mm-hmm. to create a separate asset class that is tax-free, that does all these different things? Forget what the name of it is. Like you've always said, it's not what it is, it's what it does.
Yeah.
And that's why, is it okay to have an awareness month for life insurance? Sure. But honestly, it should be an ongoing conversation you have with every financial planner,
Absolutely.
Every advisor, you know, anyone. So, Absolutely. Doug, let's take a break. I know we could talk all day on that topic. When we come back, here we are, the markets, middle of September almost. I know it's been a complete grind up to this point. Rod Holloway is going to come on and give us a little glimpse in what we see currently and maybe some reflections on the past as well. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Man, I know it's been a complete grind this year. Here we sit in September, and you just don't look at your statements because you're like, it's going to get better at some point. You know, last week we had the overhang the overhang of Fed Chairman Powell's Jackson Hole speech. The previous week, that kind of carried into last week as stock prices just kind of recalibrated. The valuations were trying to come into check. Because of the more, seemingly more assertive monetary policy stance, which we've been saying on this show, Rod's been saying on Glass in the Afternoon, that they really haven't changed their tone too much, but the market wanted that to change until he came out and put a big sledgehammer on. But people kind of remained a little unnerved by the aggressive tone of Powell's speech and then subsequent comments from Fed officials suggesting a higher rate hike than market expected at the two-day meeting they ended, September 21st. So the probability, they're saying now, of 75-point rate hike in September this month is now up to nearly 70%. And then that's when stocks started to move steadily lower before finding a little footing last Thursday. Friday's employment report appeared to strike that Goldilocks note labor gains not too strong, then it might trigger a greater Fed hawkishness, but robust enough to kind of get rid of those recession fears. But then after those early gains, stocks turn lower again. And up until Wednesday of this week, after a holiday shortened week, the market seemed to just kind of go down and then back up. And Rod, I'm telling you, this has been a slug fest for the last 9 months. I know we haven't had many bright moments, but when you stand where we are today, if you look back at where the Fed is today, you have to go back all the way to the 70s, really, when Volcker was the Fed chairman, and they pushed the economy into a recession to stop inflation. And there's been times during that period where they thought they had it under control, they didn't, and they had to go back even heavier to make it happen. And I think that's where the Fed chair sits right now. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to do everything we can to get this thing under control. And as you and I have said, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah, most certainly. And that's exactly why I think it has been a little foolhardy for the market to assume that a pause is just around the corner. If a pause comes just around the corner, the reality is the Fed loses all credibility, because I just don't see inflation being meaningfully down just around the corner. And they have been very consistent. Well, last week at Jackson Hole, he got a little more forceful with his language, mm-hmm. and some extra adjectives, and discussed pain within households and pain within companies will probably be felt. But the reality is they've been very consistent that they have to beat disinflation. And at this point, all we've seen is a drop from 9.1 to 8.5. So it's not as if we have truly conquered this. And to the point you were just making, Chairman Powell has spoke to the fact that Volcker and that Fed in the 70s led up off of the interest rate hiking a couple of times, thinking that they had the inflation problem solved, only to see an uptick in inflation soon after that, so they didn't. So I think the Fed is going to err on the side of potentially getting rates to a more restrictive level than what they potentially need them to be at, to be assured that they don't make that same mistake of the 70s of letting up. Now, we've talked on Glass's show a little bit about the 70s, because Glass has asked, is there something in the past to look at that gives us some guidance? And it's like, well, the closest you have is the 70s, and it's really only from an inflationary standpoint. You most certainly had different circumstances as far as where interest rates were at the beginning of the takeoff in inflation, where the market was. Obviously, there was no pandemic that we had just recently come out of. And then the most unusual or different thing, of course, quantitative easing and now quantitative tightening. We've never had it, so we don't know exactly what it looks like in the past and how the market will react. This month may start to give us a better gauge, because really up to this point, what the Fed has done is really just allowed what they have to roll off. So they haven't reinvested the interest that they have received. They haven't been going out and buying new bonds with maturities or called bonds. This month they're supposed to double it. So it's supposed to be about $45 billion running off. Now that's supposed to jump up to $90 billion, which means to actually hit that number, they're actually going to have to start selling. This isn't going to just be interest no longer being reinvested and bonds maturing and getting called, not being reinvested, that they're actually going to have to be a seller as well. We just don't know how that's going to play within the marketplace when you take the largest bond buyer and take them out of the bond side, buying side of the mm-hmm. world, and enter them into the selling side of things. What does that do? Predominantly from a liquidity, it would be the biggest concern is if all of a sudden you have people that can't unload their bonds because the market is so flooded with bonds and there just isn't enough demand for it, that you begin to have some liquidity issues of people who are trying to liquidate fixed income positions for whatever the liquidity need may be, and maybe not getting those off at the levels they would like to see. And they have to accept some lower bids, or if they're not willing to accept the lower bids, it's just going to take a little extra time for that to come off. So I think that the Fed is most certainly engaged in raising interest rates and beating inflation. And the market got ahead of itself when it thought there was a pause. Short term, we most certainly thought we deserved a rally in the middle of the summer. I think the rally got a little bit ahead of itself. Right now, short term, we're on the opposite side of that. We sold off pretty hard here in the last couple of weeks. Now, in the very, very short term, we are probably slightly oversold, but that's a matter of a few weeks or so with a lot of information yet to come. September 13th, we've got a new CPI reading coming out. And of course, then at the end of the month, we finally get what the Fed will do. And as you said, 70% probability it'll be a 75 basis point hike. And I would be extremely surprised if that's not what we get.
You know, it's interesting with the Fed selling. It's like, okay, what are they selling? If you go back and look at what was being issued during the time the Fed was obviously the number one buyer of treasuries in the world, we were actually selling a lot more short-term stuff than we were long-term stuff. So the Fed was buying what was being put out there. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this affects longer-term rates, because even with the expectations of the Fed starting to do this, the 10-year Treasury was still sitting only at 3.2% last week. So if they owned a bunch of debt that was on the longer end and they start selling that stuff, I mean, that you would think that would cause the yields to go up, but, you know, you don't know. It's just there's a little more math behind this than what I think meets the eye.
Yeah, most certainly, and a big part of what they're going to be selling also is going to be mortgage-backed. So they've kind of laid out, we're going to sell this much of treasuries, this much of mortgage-backed. Mortgage-backed can always be a difficult read because, number one, for the most part, they are typically longer loans, although you are getting principal paid back on an annual basis. But also, if you have a refinance, which right now we don't have a lot of refinance because the mortgage rates are going up. But if you had a slight tick down or even a pause level that maybe created some refinancing, well, some of those longer mortgage-backed securities could go away within their portfolio if people within that portfolio, and that's difficult to tell. We know that from the subprime crisis of 2008, that it's not like you can just peer through these mortgage-backed securities and see who what mortgages and who the person behind that mortgage really is and determine the likelihood of an early payoff or potential delinquencies or defaults on that. So you're kind of guessing in that regard. But obviously you begin to know as bigger principal payments potentially come out than what you're receiving on an annual basis of just the normal flow of principal and interest payments going into those mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah, and folks, that's why, you know, when you look at your statements and you think, well, I know stocks are down. I kind of expected that, but then I'm like, man, my bond accounts are down. So when you are in those lifestyle funds or target date funds or some balanced fund, this is kind of an anomaly. You know, we've not seen this kind of craziness in our near almost 30-year career. And Eric Geisler, who's been at this a heck of a lot longer than we have, says the same thing. We've never been here before. Now, what does that mean long term? It means you're going to be okay, right? I made a living of telling people you're going to be okay. But the fact is, you will be okay. And at some point, this market will turn probably before you think it should. In fact, things always seem to get worse before they get better. That's what my motto's been forever, and I've never been disappointed. And about the time you think, you know, this can't surely get any worse, sometimes it does. And that may be the case with this market as well. But the opposite is true. I remember back in many, many different times, Rod, where we would look and say, nothing has changed. But why is the market up 20% from its low? I mean, even this year, I mean, you look at the NASDAQ, it rallied 25% off the lows from June. You know, and you're kind of like, what's really changed? Nothing. And that's the hard part about this is that we know if you press the I believe button that over time I'm going to be good owning stocks. And we used to think I'm always good owning bonds, but that's because we were in a 30-year almost dropping of interest rate environment where bonds always perform really well. So I guess words of wisdom, Rod, from you as people head into the we're in the third quarter, obviously heading into fall, into the end of the year. Words of advice from you?
Yes, I think given the stuff that you just laid out, Dave, that puts that much more emphasis on the appropriate asset allocation for the time horizon that you have of when you need those dollars. As you said, we're very confident that long-term, the equity market will do well and give us the best long-term performance we can get. But long-term is 3 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. So if you need those dollars sooner than that, they should not be exposed to equity. In the very near term, we talked about a little bit, Dave, before you had to record the radio show. 3,900 appears to be the line in the sand that is being drawn on the S&P 500. So far, we have been able to hold that, I think, about four times we've tested it since we got back above it from the June sell-off, which in the June sell-off, we held a few times before we broke through and went to the ultimate lows. If we can stay above that, then maybe we trend sideways before we can potentially begin to build a new up pattern. But if we do breach it, then potentially there are a couple of levels before that. But if we breach the 3,900, we most certainly are at risk of testing the June low down around, I think it was 3,616 roughly on that. But once again, this is we're talking about for the remainder of this year. So we're not talking about 5 years down the road that this is what it looks like. We're just trying to give people, not that they need to make adjustments to their equities, other than the fact that they need the dollars sooner than what we just kind of laid out. If you don't, and it's truly long-term money, by no means are we encouraging you to make huge changes, even though we see in the near term some potential issue and a downtrend that is still intact, because long-term, we most certainly believe the market will recover, as you said already, probably before the inflation is fully fixed, but the market will sniff out it's on its way to being fixed and on its way down. I think it sniffed it out and was a little bit wrong early this time around, which is why we preach, don't time it. Put the appropriate dollars in the appropriate bucket and let it ride for the long haul and make adjustments as your time horizon begins to shorten up and you get closer to that long-term becoming near-term need.
Rod Holloway, everyone. He is the investment chief guy down there at our office, CFCI. Of course, you hear him always on Mondays and Big Show Friday. That's tomorrow with Glass in the afternoon. Rod, the biggest prediction of all, North-South, of course, play tomorrow night. Well known that I called the first offensive play last Friday night. Highly successful. I know they want me back. They haven't called me to ask me. But any predictions for the North-South game?
Where's it at?
It's at North, I believe.
It's at North this year. Okay, well, that won't sway me too much. I'm still going to slightly lean towards South. Part of that is because I haven't had the chance to see either team play this year. I know a little bit more about South and some of the players down there, which doesn't make them better than the North kids, but because of my familiarity, I'll go with the South Panthers as the victor this Friday night. But what's more important in the football world, of course, Dave, is that the Hoosiers get to 2-0 after Saturday night.
God, I hope so. Rod, we'll talk to you back at the ranch.
That sounds good, Dave. Have a great show.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a little update on how the old 2025 Final Drive podcast is going. The numbers every week, they shouldn't surprise me, but they do. It's been so awesome. So let's talk about what's coming up on this coming Monday and what I have in store for 2 weeks from now. We'll be right back at Your Money with David Hayes. All right, so 2025, the final drive. Of course, that is the metaphor on my football playing and coaching days, which are continuing with my youth football team this year once again. But that's about being, you know, on the field. Time is ticking. It's running out. You have to go now, right? So those 2017 tax cuts, yep, they're set to expire at the end of 2025. That's what's giving us this huge opportunity to act now and save ourselves from taxes potentially destroying our retirement accounts before they go up for good. So this podcast, we just recorded number 31. It will head out on Monday. And it's regarding a reverse giving strategy. Do you pay taxes on gifts? No. The reason you don't, because your lifetime exclusion amount is over $12 million. If you're married, it's $24 million. If I give away more than $16,000, I just have to say I gave away more than $16,000. You don't pay tax, they don't pay tax, no one pays tax. Well, it's a great story about how someone wanted to give their house to their kid, but the kid didn't want to give it to him. He wanted to pay for it. So how did we figure this thing out? Through a reverse giving strategy to make sure it all happened, and it all happened tax-free now and tax-free in the future. We're going to have to listen on Monday night to find out. Then next week, I'm recording one on when you do realize a gain on an asset and how you can defer that gain and how that works through what's called a Section 131, 1031 exchange. And it's going to be fun and interesting, and you know, that's why at the end of every program it says don't use this information to make tax decisions, that you need to talk with a tax professional. I'm still saying that is true, but it gives you some ammunition to go with. So, like I said, podcast number 31, we had an additional 138 unique downloads this past week, which puts us well over 3,000 unique downloads. That means if Hughes downloaded number one, and then listened to all 31, he counted as one. So we are well over 3,000. We appreciate the support. Just keep sharing it. Again, it's to get the message out. It's to get the message out of how you, help your family avoid being destroyed by taxes going up in the future. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk a little bit about like last week's show. And if you want one of those Maximizing Social Security guides, how you can get one, this is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Did you enjoy the Mary Beth Franklin show last week? Of course, she is the contributing editor of Investment News. Doug, I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but it was really good.
Detail, but you know, you gave me a report on it, but I will tell you, just knowing Mary Beth and hearing her speak on several different, I hope our listeners understand what a high level contributor she is. She's on Consuelo Mac at least twice a year, which is the best show on money. They call it the best money on TV. She used to write for Kiplinger. She is everywhere. She is a big deal. So if you have not gotten to listen to this, listen, you need to take some time and be a part of what she has to share with us.
I was thinking about that because I'm grateful to have relationships with people like Mary Beth,
yes,
with David McKnight, Power of Zero best-selling mm-hmm. author, Ed Slott, of course, Tom Hegna. He's been on. I mean, he's written many, many books. So, yeah, to get that kind of caliber on the show is
really
awesome.
Really terrific and a value to everyone who's listening.
So, if you missed out on that offer I gave last week, which was I bought a bunch of her Maximizing Social Security guides. They're virtual or whatever you call that, or online version. They're normally $29. I was able to get a group discount. Mary Beth hooked me up there. I bought 20 of them. I've given most of them away. I have a few left, and I'm going to lay it out there again. If I have someone, we just sent them out today. So it took literally a week for us to make this happen. I said it last week. We finally got them done, and they went out today. But if you would like my final few copies of Maximizing Social Security free, compliments of old Dave here, just again, email us through the website at cfci.us. Contact us. Tell us you'd like the Social Security Guide. And we will email you that PDF version there, that downloadable version. And it's like 40-some pages long. Anyway, I'd have a few left. So if you'd like one, let me know. And the people that interestingly enough requested them were almost all clients. So I'm like, that's kind of interesting because, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I think two or three of the 18 or so that asked for them were not clients. But so I appreciate the following and appreciate everyone listening to the show. We're going to take another quick break, come back, and wrap her all up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, man, has it been a short week? I mean, I got in the office on Tuesday, was all out of sorts because it felt like Monday, and now here we are Thursday, it feels like Friday. So it's just a whacked up week. But we're going to have another great weekend with high school football, Indiana football. I'm going to be spending time with my mother all day Saturday, looking forward to that. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon, back on the youth football field, hopefully a victory there. And we're also going to be celebrating my good friend Jared Long's father, J.D. Long, who was the founder of Long's Landing, and he passed away recently of cancer. Just a big dude in a big heart and a person that really just touched a lot of lives. So we have that going on Sunday as well. So my thoughts have been with the Long family ever since we visited with J.D. a few months ago down in Florida, and we just want to continue to keep J.D. and the family lifted up. So, Doug, thanks for being part of the program today. We appreciate you being here as always. And, guys, have a great weekend. Listen to the podcast on Monday night, 2025, The Final Drive. You won't regret it. It's about 8 to 10 minutes long, not a big waste of time. And then I'll be back here in studio next Thursday. So let's see if Indiana can pull it off. Go Hoosiers. See you later, guys. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.